let's take some of these calls briefly now, because the show is slowing down. David in London.
Yeah, hi, Nick.
How's it going?
Hi. Don't you think actors from the 70s and 80s are so much better than today's actors?
Well, go on, name names.
Clint Eastwood.
Still working.
Steve McQueen.
Dead.
Paul Newman.
Still working.
Burt Lancaster.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Poor Burt.
They just, they don't produce actors like that anymore, do they?
Sure they do.
Do they do? Name one.
Jack Nicholson. Nope, that's not right.
He's not today's actor.
Robert Duvall. Nope, that's
again,
not right. Ed Harris. Nope,
no?
Wrong again. You're right. Well, the thing they don't produce is stars like they used to. Stars these days are a bit sort of, they're a bit thin, like Tom Cruise. It's like, it's a bit thin, really.
Exactly.
Although, that last film that he had, I thought was great. About when he was an agent, what was that called?
Yeah. Mission Impossible.
No, fool. When he was an agent, a sports agent.
Oh, Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire. It was a great film.
Jerry Maguire was good.
And women stars. They're all kind of much of a muchness, really. Apart from Sigourney Weaver, who is also kind of from the 80s, really, isn't she? That's when Alien came out. So
there was somewhat, there was somewhat
back into the 70s, early 80s. Yeah, well, they had substance and meat.
Mm.
There's no beef on these new people.
I know. I mean, I must admit, I saw Good Will Hunting recently.
Oh, well, don't tell me anything about it.
No, I won't. But he is the first decent actor of today.
Who, Robin Williams?
Yeah, well, he's great as well.
You think? Robin Williams. He always makes me want to puke when I see him in films.
No, you'll love him in that film.
Really?
Oh, he's amazing. He won an Oscar, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, that mean nothing to win an Oscar. I wonder if winning an Oscar is kind of like getting a Sony Award in radio, that it means that he's never going to work again. Probably not, in fact. Okay, but that's a good point, and interestingly put, and prescient and all that jazz. Thanks a lot, David. 0500-1053-89. Here's a bloke who's been waiting since almost last week, and he's in London. He's called Stephen. I think the weight got to him. How about one in Glasgow, also called Stephen?
Hello, Nick.
Glasgow. Stephen, I mean.
Hey, Nick.
Yes, hello.
Yes. Good to see that you're trying to emulate that nasty man Jack Straw by advocating the censorship of the media.
In which sense?
Well, a couple of minutes ago you were talking about the media and why can't you ban the things that they're printing as they do in radio?
I don't think I actually said ban it.
Oh,
I think
censor. Censor.
I don't think I did say...
You did say censor.
No, I don't believe that I actually said...
No, you said, wait, why can't they have the censorship? Because that's what I wrote it down, censorship, as I said.
I don't believe that I said, why can't they have the same censorship as we have...
No, why don't they have the same censorship that you do? Because they can say any, was it fascist thing in a paper, whereas you couldn't say it in the radio. You did say that.
Okay, well, yes.
Yeah, well,
you put it in that. You put it in that way. Yes, I agree with that.
So you.
The thing is that they have, and John Major was absolutely right about this. He said they are odious and outrageous who exercise power. What is that noise?
Just showing it.
Am I keeping you up?
No, just the mention of the word John Major, and you're agreeing with him.
Who exercise power without responsibility, and that's the point. And they'll print the most outrageous lies,
mm-hmm.
and then 6 months later, after being dragged through the court, they'll have to print an apology, and the outrageous lie will be on the front page and a special inside pullout, and also on pages 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And the apology will be about a half an inch big, buried underneath a sports report on page 19. You know, that's wrong.
Mm.
The apology should be, and what's his name? The fat bloke who's deputy prime minister. What's his name?
John Prescott.
He was on Hello, Good Morning and Welcome.
Oh, yeah.
David Frost.
Yeah. Well.
And he said, and he was quite right, that the apology that any paper makes should cover the same space in the same part of the paper that the original story made.
Mm-hmm.
And it, absolutely right.
But I'll never have.
Well, it'll only happen if this government makes it the law. And, of course, this government is not going to do anything that Rupert Murdoch is going to disagree with.
Wait,
Because Rupert Murdoch is running this country, not Tony Blair. You know, if they have a question about anything, they think, well, I don't know, what are the first of all, what do the focus groups say? And second of all, how is the Sun going to write it up?
You see, you dislike Rupert Murdoch so much.
It's not that I dislike him. I dislike the fact that he is in effect running the country.
But why do you still read the Sun and the Sunday Times?
It's because I read all the papers.
And watch his TV programs and films by 20th Century Fox.
Like I say, I don't have anything personal against Rupert Murdoch. I do have a personal problem with some of the stuff that gets printed in not just his tabloids, but all the tabloids, who I think, they're just, like a lot of them, are a little bit too right-wing, fascistic, Nazi for my taste. You know, I mean, a lot of people go in for it. If you said, you know, let's bring back the death penalty, then you'll probably get crowds in the street, you know, queuing up for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
If you said, you know, anybody that's whose skin is slightly on the brown side should be repatriated to the original country, you'll have crowds of people in, you know, cheering in the streets. So there is this kind of like sort of a fascistic streak generally to people, and that kind of paper panders to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what would be nice is if you kind of fought against that to a more sort of humanistic, liberal,
yeah,
with a small L outlook.
Right, moving on to something else, right, before I go. See that bloke, what do you call him, AIDS, who can't get laid?
Yeah.
Why don't all the listeners have a whip round for him? And pay for
them to stop right there. 0500 1053 89. Maybe we should. That is a pretty good idea. Why don't we have a whip round and he can, you know, we can send him to heaven and back.
Because I don't think it would be right for us to encourage that as responsible broadcasters.
Shut up.
Okay.
Who are you thinking of? Oh, me.
Yeah.
Here's one in London. Hello, Ed. It was actually Kylie Minogue's new song, and she'll be performing that with Nicky Horn
tomorrow from 6
on backing vocals
on Talk Radio.
On Talk Radio, that's right.
It's a good argument for
not listening to that tribe.
Oh, you mean that tribe, yes, rather than
not Kylie Minogue? No, she has a great story to tell. That's some life that she's had.
Yeah,
she was a screamed at teen soap star all over the world. And she ditched that, and then had this kind of who's going to be more famous thing with her sister. So that should be quite interesting. I mean, I've never actually heard her speak.
Haven't you?
No.
I've met her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did we ask you?
No.
No, okay. Well, you very rarely get to say anything on the air.
Okay, go on.
Go ahead. You met her.
That's all. I just met her.
Did she like your
trunk? She did, yeah. She shook my
trunk. Did she call... Really?
Yeah.
Well, did she use both hands?
Just the one.
And you met her where?
At Reading Festival last year.
And what was she like?
Very nice, very sweet.
No, really, what was she like?
But rather thin.
Thin, too thin. She should eat more, you say?
Yeah, I think so.
And this from a boy who weighs probably about 7 stone. here's one in London also. Bernie. Hello, Bernie.
Hello, Nick. I didn't phone you last week.
Oh, this is Bernadette.
Okay.
It's always a shock. And I know we've only spoken a few times, but I see Bernie and I'm expecting like a sort of 50-year-old Jewish guy.
Yeah.
And suddenly you speak at me. I'm thinking, huh? Yes, Bernadette.
Hello. I didn't phone last week, actually, because I wasn't really feeling myself.
Excuse me?
But apart from that, did you see Jerry Springer this week?
No, I've only ever seen it once, and it was, I've seen it twice, once in somebody else's program. Did you see the Ruby Wax show when she went onto the Jerry Springer program?
Yeah.
Now, the thing about Ruby Wax is she's very funny. She had tons of presence, and I admire her tremendously, but she has a tendency sometimes to be deeply cruel about the people she's talking to. And some of the people on that program were really quite bizarre, like the women who had And I thought that it was going to be a program about women who look like men, or women who grow facial hair, or something like that. But these women had more facial hair than you could possibly imagine. I mean, think of somebody with facial hair. Rolf Harris doesn't have facial hair like these women had. And she was, she wasn't sort of playing along with them. She was actually being really deeply unpleasant about them, and that kind of grated a little bit. But she did this great thing at the end. On Jerry Springer, they had this... Well, why people go on that program to do this is a mystery to me. But these guys were going out with what they thought were girls, but were actually men having had a sex change. Mm. And so the men having had a sex change thought it would be a good idea to come out to their boyfriends on national television. Which part of that makes sense? And so the guys, as you would expect, when told that their girlfriends are actually men, went nuts.
Oh no, they went ballistic.
Yeah, and backstage it was like a war, it was like a war zone, and nobody was speaking to anybody else. And it was actually one of the best moments of television I've ever seen. And Ruby Wax took it upon herself to bring everybody back together again. And so she went around all the individual couples and said, you know, such and such is really sorry and she really wants to sort of get back and have a chat. And it was, she was almost like Mother Teresa. She brought everybody, one by one, all the couples, so she sewed them back together again. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But you go ahead. Jerry Springer this week was about?
Well, it was excruciatingly painful. This bloke, he cut off his penis and flushed it down the toilet to deter a stalker.
Excuse me, he did what? He flushed it down the toilet to deter a stalker?
Yeah.
What?
Well, he denied going out with this bloke, but secretly he had been, and he just kept saying that this bloke had been stalking him, and the only way he could get rid of him was to chop it off.
What?
I know, and it was really, really, you know, painful. And but anyway, he's going to, you know, get some surgery and have it rebuilt. But I think...
Well, from what, though?
Well, I mean, I presume there's a small, you know, bit left. You know, I mean, they can do all kinds of miracles these days, can't they?
Well, maybe we could send them a part of Nelly's trunk. You don't mind losing a couple of inches, do you?
Leave it alone.
Well, I think you should send him a pencil sharpener, actually, from your fun pack. Because, obviously, he hasn't got any lead in his pencil, has he?
Mm-hmm. Well, now you're just being offensive.
Well, why not?
And which part of that makes sense, by the way? A guy who did that, well, I guess he had to be pretty insane to do that, and to want to go on television and tell people that you'd done that. That's just nuts to me.
Yeah. Well, originally he thought that the other bloke had actually done it, because he was out of his head at the time when he did it to himself. But then a few days later he realised that he had done it himself. I mean, obviously he was very disturbed.
Back up. He was so mad that he didn't realise that he'd actually chopped his own... part off.
Yeah.
He thought that somebody else had done it.
Yeah, he thought that the bloke that had been stalking him had done it to him.
That must be some special kind of medicine he's taking in his place. Does he have to keep it in the fridge? That's insane. And Jerry Springer managed to get a whole show out of this?
Yeah.
And did you get to see the evidence? Because it could all have been completely made up.
Well, no, they brought on loads of people to sort of, you know, say that they knew him and that, you know, it was true and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, it was really true. I mean, you know, but obviously he needed to go and see somebody quite quickly.
Yes. Yes. A psychiatrist being, you know, one of them. So this is a noise you won't be hearing too soon in the future. Thanks a lot, Bernie.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Now we're all feeling unwell. What have you got there, Kev? You're walking around virtually with a clipboard and a pen.
I don't have a clipboard. I've asked Sick Boy to get me a clipboard for next week.
Hi, boys.
Because, hello, Mike.
Is it going time, or is it...
Well, you're a couple of minutes early, but...
Don't bring him in here yet. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Where were you today? Normally you're here when I arrive at, 29 minutes past seven, but you strolled in...
I'm on the blue one.
Casually. Loquaciously.
Yes. What
is it? Well, let's look up loquacious, shall we?
I think it's loquacious is a mouth event.
Excuse me?
It's a mouth event.
L-M... This is always dangerous when I look up words in a dictionary, because I tend to drop on
Thank
one that's...
Thank you very much for the headphones.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Lino cut. Linguist.
Lino cut. Oh, I like lino cuts. They're a lot of fun, aren't they?
I'm having my kitchen done on Monday.
Oh.
If they screw it up, I'm going to give that company more bad publicity than they have ever had.
Really?
I will. It will. If
there's
it kills
nothing
me.
Vindictive about you, is there? You know, underneath that hard as nails exterior,
mm-hmm. Loquacious. Is it L O Q?
L O Q. You.
Now I can't do. A. I can't jump straight in the middle of the alphabet. I have to start from the beginning. A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P Q.
Q.
M N O. Look, Lufa, Loran, Lord, Loose. Spinning loose today, Mike?
No, I'm sort of pretty standard.
Lottery, a system for raising money which involves randomly drawing numbered tickets that Nick never chooses.
What? But I really love him.
This doesn't have Q in here.
Give us in here.
Wait, I'm going to do this if it kills me. I'm an OPQR. QR, loose, Lord. Before R. Lonesome.
A lot of paper around here, Nick, isn't there?
Yes.
Looks like an explosion in a mattress factory.
It's all my material. L-M-N-O-P-Q-R. There is no Q. Loquacious. Very talkative. And I can't remember how I used it.
You said I was looking...
You walked in
rather
loquaciously.
Loquaciously, and I said, I think loquacious is a mouth event, I said.
So I guess you were right.
Okay.
And I was...
This is Talk Radio. Nick Abbott.
It's like having your stomach ripped inside out.
Okay, I'm going to flip through the dictionary. You tell me when to stop, and
okay.
I'll read out the first word I see. Much to Kev's distress.
Yes. No need to worry, Kev.
Yeah.
Everything's going fine.
Yeah.
I've got the bucket here, so okay.
And here we go.
I'm playing disclaimer, though, remember that.
On your word.
No. Okay, hit it.
On your word.
Stop.
Repugnant.
Yes. Hey.
Repulse. Kev.
Uh-huh.
That's about it, really.
We've been playing some good music tonight.
Yeah, haven't we?
I hate this music. Not this music, but some of that new stuff that he's put in.
No, one track you didn't like.
Couple.
One. One. You like it. Look, trust me, I know what makes you sound good. I know what makes Mike sound good as well.
Yeah. Sure is. We couldn't afford the surgery. So I'm having to work with them being dragged up behind a bulldog clip.
You don't have to work dragged up. You look fine just the way you are.
I'm dragged up. Just imagine if I weren't.
So, tonight,
yeah.
Apart from my neurologist, the lovely Kathy Fay,
mm-hmm.
There's a guy joining us who, by name, John Dee, is exactly the same as a direct descendant of the John Dee who was Elizabeth the First astrologer.
I'm lying, of course.
The same. Isn't that extraordinary?
Elizabeth the First astrologer.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Mm. And the other side of it is that he'll be able to tell us that John was right. The Spanish meant us no good. When that flag hove into view, you know that white square with the onion on it?
What? The white square with an onion on it?
Mm-hmm. We didn't do Spanish.
No, I didn't do Spanish. I did French.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a white square with a clove of garlic on it?
I was quite good at the oral part.
Well, I think we'll leave that there, don't you?
Sure.
Yes. Because that could actually be a...
I think we'll just better stop.
Yes.
But I was, though.
Sorry?
Quite good at the oral part of the examination of my French course.
I'm pleased to hear it.
Yes.
Because it can be fun. Oral can be fun. I think so. The written stuff's a bit. And, of course, there's so many little bits, aren't there? Accent acute and cedilla and stuff like that, you know.
I forgot about the cedilla.
I found it on my keyboard the other day. I was just tapping away and I hit the alternative button, you know. And I had a cedilla. I thought, oh, that's interesting. I noticed the word the with the cedilla on it.
Doesn't your computer know that the cedilla only goes under the letter Q?
No, I'm in charge of that keyboard. Isn't this an interesting thing? Did this about anorexics? People who are anorexic actually choose to be anorexic because their life path is out of their control, and that's the one part of their life they can take charge of. And I thought, that's very interesting, because a lot of people I know who are anorexic or have anorexic tendencies tend to be swamped by family and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of pressures on them.
But aren't we all?
Well, anorexic?
No, swamped.
No, no. Loads of people live alone now. Gone up 14%. 14% this year. More and more people are living alone.
You know a lot of anorexics.
Yes, well, I know a few. I don't know all of them. I know a few. Strange, I saw a guy the other day. His very, very tight clothes. Looked like a stick insect. The interesting thing is that he perceived that he was still a bit chubby. But he's walking down the street and he looked...
painful.
He just, oh, he couldn't look at him. Really sad. His knees were bigger than his thighs, you know? I mean, that's really odd.
You took a lot in for someone who...
Someone
you couldn't look at.
Journalist's eye.
Well, you're taking photographs.
Song and a smile and Instamatic.
So what else do you have tonight?
What about, attitude?
I've been meaning to speak to you about your attitude, actually,
yes,
Mike.
The attitude. And, anything else? Oh, loads
of
stuff.
What do you mean, attitude? What does that mean?
I don't. People say it all the time, you know. It says, it's paint with attitude. What is it? It's car grease.
But what does that mean, though, attitude? What do you mean you're doing attitude?
No, I said whatever it is, it's with attitude.
Oh, with attitude?
With attitude.
Oh, right. So you've got the,
Neurologist.
Right.
Chinese astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And psychic car mechanics. And we're just inches away from starting a new sequence on gardening soon.
Psychic gardener?
Nearly psychic, but not quite. But I'm not going to tell you anymore because it's not happening for about 3 or 4 weeks. And you know what an incestuous business broadcasting is. Mm.
Someone
will nick it.
Tell your personality dependent on which plants you smoke.
Yes. Are you dallying with your dahlia?
Yes.
Anyway, it's going to be a herbal sort of night in sort of homage to those who went out today.
Mm-hmm.
What about the boat race? Did you see that? The clashing oars, did you see? Cambridge one, of course.
I was walking.
Light blue moment.
At the time.
You were walking.
Of course. Who won? The boat race was today.
Yes.
Who won?
Cambridge.
Who cares about the stupid boat race? Blimey. There are a bunch of ringers that they bring in from the States who are all like 7 feet tall. They haven't got anything to do with either university. And they just... what is that about? That is ridiculous.
It's not loquacious, is it?
No.
No. So apart from that, it's been a quiet day. I'm surprised to see a man of your wealth walking. I mean, couldn't you get somebody to do it for you?
So Mike's going to say...
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh,
hello. One of the two. Okay, Mike's in about 10 minutes or so, and before we do what we do next, we'll have to go away. But before we do that, which would you like? Would you like stupid news stories, or would you like genuine answers from TV game shows, or a joke from a rag mag, or what?
A joke from a rag mag.
I'd rather not do the joke from the rag, mate.
Okay.
But if you insist. Two ladies are sitting on a park bench. Now, you can remember, leave this decision to James, who's new on the board.
No. As producer, the decision comes to me.
No, when he's sitting in that chair and you're standing up, then that you're the runner. Kev, go and get me a cup of tea.
No.
And James, you have to decide whether this is suitable for a broadcast on the air, okay?
Because... No. Because James will
I am obviously not capable of deciding what is and is not right.
As we know.
So you, James, now are my producer.
No, he's not.
So hover your trunk above the dump button. If you let this go through and...
Then I get fired. Okay,
yes.
So remember that.
So don't worry about it. Two old ladies are sitting on a park bench when a flasher walks up to them. He yanks open his raincoat and exposes himself totally to them. This is an enormous shock to the old ladies, and one of them has a stroke right away. The other one couldn't quite reach.
Nick Abbott on Talk Radio.
So what else? Ice cream. That was something I started off and we didn't actually complete. We should do a survey on how everybody eats ice cream. Why not?
Out of the tub.
You eat it out of the tub?
Yeah.
Big spoon or small spoon?
Well, like a trowel.
Do you use a big spoon?
Yeah.
Because I pegged you as using a small spoon, so it would seem like you're eating more of it, because there's more actual spoons. And do you just eat it, or do you kind of play with it?
Well, you know, I hadn't had it till the other week. And it was a very nice sort of chocolate one.
And you ate it straight out of the tub?
Yes.
With a spoon? Like a dessert spoon or a teaspoon? Because I peg you as a sort of a teaspoon type.
I was a dessert spoon.
Really?
Mm.
And you just put the ice cream on the spoon and then straight in your mouth and that's it? Or do you kind of toy with it? Do you play with it?
I do.
You sort of swirl it around and suck it a lot.
I toy with it a little.
Mm-hmm. You take it out and you look at it and it sort of melts in a little lake, like a little island in a lake, and then you put it back in your mouth and you suck the juice off and leave the little mountain of ice cream there and you take a look at it again and like that?
No.
But now you want to, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
0500 1053 89. It's a free call. Let's get through some of these people. And here's one in Aberdeen, Murray.
Oh, Nick, I've got a quick question for you.
Yeah.
It's about Beavis and Butthead.
Okay.
See, when Beavis says, I need TP for my bunghole.
Yeah.
Does he mean toothpaste?
I've got absolutely no idea what that means. TP? No, a TP as in a tent, I always thought he meant.
All right, well, it's just like the two letters TP. I mean toothpaste.
No, I think it's the word, a TP.
All right. Or could it be toilet paper?
I guess that would make sense, yeah, but, no, I always thought that he wanted a tent,
right.
Which makes no sense at all, but then that he only says that when he goes nuts anyway, when he has too much sugar. But, it's an interesting an educational one.
Nelly,
and thanks for posing it.
Nelly has a thought.
Really?
He thinks it might mean toilet paper.
Well, that's what Murray just said.
I know.
TP.
No, he said toothpaste.
No, but he also said toilet paper.
Did he? Sorry, Murray, I wasn't listening to you.
That's okay, Kev.
Do you get that? Do you get that a lot, Murray?
No, not a lot.
Really?
Just me.
Okay, thanks a lot, mate. TP. I'd never really thought about that before. Do people refer to toilet paper as TP? I mean, they refer to orange juice as OJ.
Well, I don't refer to it as TP.
Do you ever go into a sandwich shop and ask for some BS?
I work with you, I get plenty of that.
I've never offered you a bacon sandwich in my life.
Oh, that's true.
Here's one in... it's a mobile. Blimey, I had no idea. Let's take that straight away. Dale, hello.
Hello, Nick. Nicky, baby. Dale, the founding member of the only member so far that lives from Cheddar Fan Club.
Deli Willy. Yeah, you sound so much like,
if you say that, I'm going to kill you.
You sound so much like, what's his name?
Ola, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who?
You sound like, Sinbad, who does,
Sinbad, well,
yeah, never mind. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, really quick on about Apocalypse Now, mate. I know there's not much time left. But, did you know that Martin Sheen's twin brother, or his, I think he's his elder brother, played some of the parts when he had his heart attack?
Martin Sheen has an older brother.
He's got a brother who's around the same age as him, actually. Apparently, when he had his heart attack, I think he had malaria as well or something like that when he was filming that. And some of the scenes were actually shot by his brother, who's a bit tubbier than he was at the time.
No, I did not know. Is that why they...
Paint.
Yeah, the camouflage paint.
When
and
he came out of the river, out of that swamp.
Precisely the point that I was going to say, because he's underwater, right? You only see his face. Is that him?
That is the one.
I don't
look
believe
at his hairline on that, right? His hairline is slightly more receded than Martin Sheen's was at the time. Of course, it's completely gone now because he's old and fat now. But, I mean, at the time, he was a young guy, wasn't he?
But still a respected actor.
Oh, yes.
Let's not bury the guy.
Nick.
And another thing.
Nick, Full Metal Jacket, I was an extra in it.
You were?
I was an extra in it, yeah.
In which part?
I was in when Dorian Hayes, the guy that got shot reading the map by the woman sniper.
Yeah.
The very first guy to open fire was me. Behind the wall with all the actors there.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do you look like?
I'm about 6'4", black. At the top, still am. You wouldn't have seen my face. There's a couple of scenes like where they had the dead body in the pagoda courtyard and they're taking pictures of him. Then they had the dead guy and it's his birthday. Behind the guy taking pictures, oh, you see me sitting there eating out of a sea rations can.
And were in, because this is all in Docklands, right?
It was in Beckton in East London, a bit further out, but it's same area, yes.
And what's there now? Is it,
an old gasworks.
And they set the buildings on fire. Did they actually build those?
Most of them were sort of half demolished at the time. The sets that were actually built there were built, and then they just set fires in, like, bins, so that you had all these black plumes of smoke come up everywhere.
Because the building certainly did look completely real, so none of that was fake.
Well, they're gaswork buildings. They're already demolished, but they're just dressed up to look like building a reef that they've taken a beef there to do strike or something.
And what is the director, what's his name?
Stanley Kubrick.
What's he like?
Quiet bloke. Really quiet. Intense in his work and everything. If you sneeze anywhere near him, he goes bloody mad. Because, you know, he's a bit freaky when he thinks he's going to catch a cold from somebody or something. You know, so if he got a cold or anything like that, don't sneeze near him. You know, but nice guy though. Knows his work, knows what he wants. Good to work with.
And how much you get paid?
None of your business.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Good night, mate.
0500 10 53 18. Oh, blimey, is it that time already? Okay, let's go to, genuine contestants' answers from the ITV game show Family Fortunes. Do we want to hear this, yes or no?
Yes!
Okay, right. The last thing you take off before going to bed. Your feet. Something that makes you scream. A squirrel. What? Genuine contestants' answers from the ITV game show Family Fortunes. Something you have with coffee. The Sunday Sport. A song with moon in the title. Blue suede moon. And something you open other than a door. Your bowels. And Mike's next.